Today on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, an award-winning guaranteed Irish company. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Today on RTE Radio 1, text 51551.
If you are waiting for a dermatology appointment, you're not alone. As of June this year, there were over 65,000 people on waiting lists to see a consultant dermatologist. So in an effort to cut those numbers, HICWA is asking the public if they would support the idea of teledermatology in primary care, meaning GPs would include photos with a referral letter to a dermatologist for them to assess how urgently the patient needs to be seen. Conor Tellier is HICWA's chief scientist and he joins us on the line now. Conor, good morning. Thank you very much for taking the call. Explain what this proposal is going to look like from the patient point of view, please.
Morning, Philip. So, as you mentioned, there's quite a substantial waiting list for dermatology, and about 1 in 12 visits to the GP are for people with a skin complaint. And last year, GPs made 100,000 referrals to public dermatology services, but the system only has capacity to see about half of those. Now, at the moment, a GP writes a referral letter, and that's what the dermatologist sees and uses to decide how quickly they need to see the patient. But if you have teledermatology, the GP will attach photos and the dermatologist will use that in addition to the information that's in the letter. As you'll appreciate, dermatology is quite a visual discipline. The skin is the largest organ in the body, but it covers the outside. So they look to understand what's going on. So having photos helps them determine how urgent a case is. And also what we've seen in the international findings is that up to and around half of patients don't actually need to be seen face to face, but based on the photos, the dermatologist can say, look, it's safe to let you stay with the GP because we can see this isn't an issue that needs to be dealt with by us.
So at the moment, when a GP makes a referral, a dermatologist has to deal with them in the order that they come in, but this would allow them to effectively triage you and me, and they could say, OK, Conor, you don't need to be seen urgently, but Philip, you need to get me in to me tomorrow.
Yeah, so in the existing system, they use triage, but it's based on the content of the referral letter and not on any photos. So the addition of photos makes it much more efficient, the ability to determine how urgently somebody needs to be seen.
Presumably, there's a cost implication for GPs here, that this is not just a camera on your phone. It's considerably more specialised equipment.
Yes, that's correct. So we looked at if the HSE was to provide GPs with cameras, proper cameras that meet minimum standards, and also to provide associated training to GPs on how to take photos, what photos to supply, and so on. And so we factored that in. And over the course of 10 years, it would cost in the region of 10 million to provide all the equipment and training necessary for teledermatology.
For one of the fastest growing forms of cancer, 10 million doesn't really seem like a huge outlay, does it?
It's not. And you have to bear in mind as well that the system has a lack of capacity at the moment. So if you were to go out today and recruit dermatologists so that we had enough to meet demand, we would need an additional 45 on top of the 64 that we have at the moment. So that's a huge increase in dermatology capacity needed. If we had teledermatology, it would be 37 rather than 45. So there will be sort of cost savings in reduced staff requirements, but there is a need for a massive recruitment drive over time to meet demand.
Okay. In other countries where teledermatology is used, what have the health outcomes been?
So this is interesting. We did a review of that, and the health outcomes are generally in terms of reduced waiting time and that there isn't a difference in your actual outcome as a patient, except that you get seen sooner. So there will be an extent, if you're seen sooner, you'll have faster resolution, which is very beneficial, particularly if you have a chronic condition that may take years to deal with. The sooner you can get treatment initiated, the better. But the primary change is that you are seen sooner and dealt with sooner.
Okay, that's a greater comfort to the patient. And I hate to sound hard-hearted here, but if there's no improvement in the health outcomes, from a cost-benefit analysis point of view, what's strictly speaking the point of doing this?
Well, if you have people, like at the moment, we said the waiting list is about 66,000 people as of June of this year. If they don't do anything, within 10 years, that waiting list will be around 500,000 people. So this is getting out of hand quite quickly. And if you have 500,000 people on the waiting list, you could be waiting many years to be seen. And then you will start to expect that outcomes will disimprove quite markedly.
Okay.
So action does need to be taken.
And have we any concerns about are dermatologists making their assessment on the basis of a picture as opposed to looking at it with the naked eye, looking at the person right in front of them? Is there the chance, the possibility that things will be missed?
So the evidence suggests that what's called the diagnostic concordance, so the agreement between what you would decide when you see somebody face to face and what you decide when you see just the photos, is very high. There's a high degree of agreement. But the point of this system would be that the dermatologist, if they have any doubt at all based on viewing the photos, they would just schedule a face-to-face appointment. And that it's only in cases where they're absolutely sure based on the photos that there is no concern, that they could say to the GP, I don't need to see this person face-to-face.
So this is a public consultation process. How do people let their feelings be known?
So we've put the report up on www.hicwa.ie, and we'd welcome submissions from any members of the public. The deadline is the 18th of December. And when the consultation closes, all those submissions will be reviewed. We'll pull it all together and we'll make any necessary changes to the report. And then we will publish the finalised report early next year. And we're particularly looking for any input in terms of, are there important considerations that we haven't included in the report that might be helpful for informing the HSE as to whether or not they should bring in teledermatology.
Conor Tellier, HICWA's Chief Scientist, thank you very much for joining us this morning. 51551 in your texts. A lot of reaction to the item that we just did on closing the loophole for learner driver permits. John is pretty hardcore, says no driver should be allowed to remain driving for more than 2 years if they haven't passed a test. But another interesting one here from somebody who says, I've had to wait months for a driving test. I failed the first one. Then I went abroad to live for my Erasmus for a year. I did multiple lessons to refresh, but didn't get another test date. I moved abroad for a master's and only then received a test date, so I had to come off the list. I am now waiting for a test date, but this is a nightmare. I have spent thousands on trying to get this done, and now this comes in and I'm already on my third permit. Oh, hard cases make bad law, as they say. Coming up, our reporter Maura Fay, reports on the demand for civil restraining orders.
Today on RTE Radio 1.